This podcast is brought to you by lineupmedia.fm. It's time to step up to the plate with Jim, Steve, Fish, and former two-time Gold Glover World Series champion, Benji Molina.
A swing and a miss, and that's the winner! That's the winner! A World Series winner for the Cardinals!
Ranger, that is! In the left field, December 3000, a run is scored!
Smith courts one into right down the line. It may go! Go crazy, folks! Go crazy!
A high pop ball! The Clover's there! The Cardinals won the pennant! The Cardinals won the pennant! The Cardinals won the pennant!
Breeze hits it in the air to center. We will see you tomorrow night.
Swing and a miss! The Cardinals are world champions for 2006.
In the air to left, well hit. Back is Craig. What a team. What a ride. The Cardinals are world champs in 2011.
Hello, Cardinal fans. Welcome to this Monday morning edition of Two Birds on a Bat, your St. Louis Cardinals fan podcast. Let me welcome in my partner in crime, Steve-O. What's going on, bud?
Nothing. I need a little update from you. Obviously, a lot of good St. Louis news on the ice front.
Oh, yeah.
This weekend. So break it. I mean, well, a lot of crossover fans we
sure,
got. You
we
know
do.
That.
Yeah, no. And we will be, we're trying to put together in the summertime. I do the show, obviously, if you're following both. I do the podcast with Jamie Rivers, former Blues defenseman and former Blues enforcer, Darren Kimball, both local guys. You see Jamie sometimes on Fox Sports, but Midwest doing his thing. He's on the radio all the time. He's heavily involved in youth hockey within the St. Louis community. Darren, obviously, you know, St. Louis loves their enforcers, loves what they do, so just a beloved figure in the area, of course, a la Kelly Chase, Tony Twist style. So, it's a lot of fun to do, and we talked about trying to do one over the summer whenever things occurred. Well, obviously, it was a big day for the Blues with the expansion draft. Had a guy that took a pretty good beating from Cardinal Blues, whatever you want to call it. Guy that took a beating from Blues fans for a while, Yuri Laterra. Seems on paper anyway that general manager Doug Armstrong, who kind of mole-like. People have been on a little bit about, hey, you got to do something here. Get off your hands and figure this out. And he has supposedly done so, because I guess, you know, you always want to see the proof's in the pudding, so to speak. Good trade, obviously, if you believe that part of it. But then, you know, did something that I guess it's got some people in an uproar, and it's kind of compared to the Cardinals situation. So we're going to talk a little bit about that when we have our friend Nate McHenry on. I want to get his thoughts on it, because the strategy that the GM has taken with the Blues, I think a lot of people might like to see Mo kind of take that approach a little bit here. So we're going to talk a little bit about that today. You know, I guess if you win a game on Sunday Night Baseball, you know, I don't know if all is forgotten, but just not another good stretch of baseball here, even though it was nice to get a win last night. But, you know, another opportunity to win over the weekend. And, you know, and in the end, what I see is, and this makes me, you know, I saw this tweet from a guy, and it just makes you just go, gosh, the Cardinals are 6 games under 500, but only 5 games out of first place. I mean, that's a shame.
It's amazing that, and realistically, Jim, that's given us, it's probably hurt us more than it's helped us.
Well, yeah, because I mean, if we weren't even remotely close, I think some changes would be going on as we speak, as opposed to, like, I'm not, like, I don't know. I mean, who, I always say, what do we really know, right? Over there at Busch Stadium, there, Mo and whoever, his trusted counsel in there, his scouts, whatever, his analytical guys, his visual scouts, they're all probably sitting around going, God, what do? We could go this way or we could go this way. So I know some people have been calling for a trades that both help you now and help you in the long term. A lot of these things are much easier said than done. I understand that. And that's kind of where I was going with the whole Doug Armstrong thing. So we're going to get to that in a minute. Before we do, we want to remind everybody to make sure you check us out. TwoBirdsOnABat.com is our website, and it's where you'll find the podcast. It's also the easiest way to subscribe to the show. Simply hit subscribe to the podcast. It's absolutely free. You'll get a notification each and every time the show does come out. Very happy to say that we're part of so many great social media groups, whether it be Facebook or Twitter. If you want to follow us on Twitter, we are at Birds on a Bat Show. If you follow us and you're a Cardinal fan, we are going to follow you back. It's our way of trying to stay connected with the baseball community, especially here in St. Louis. You guys have done a great job of sharing our tweets, especially the ones that have the show. I love the engagement. We've been doing more and more just jumping in on conversations, whether it be a different point of view or something we might be passionate about versus something you are, but all in good fun in an effort to just talk about, you know, our favorite franchise. Facebook as well is a great way to stay connected. Simply type in Two Birds on a Bat. Our ask of you is to follow our page. When you see the post go out, if you'd simply share it, like it, it would help us reach lots of people. We've done that through the great Facebook groups that we're a part of. Nate McHenry, you'll hear from him today. He's back with his Rally Squirrel Report.
Must be nice to have like 7 weeks of holiday or vacation.
I think he does a lot of work, staycation, like workcation type things. But we'll hear from Nate again today and his page, rallysquirrel.com, the great Facebook page. It also has the Rally Squirrel Club sitting just under 100,000 followers. And they've done a great job promoting us. Chris Lawless. And hey, I want a shout out to Chris. His fiance's dealing with a little health issue right now and, you know, hopefully getting better every day. Our prayers and thoughts go out to her as well. Chris does a great job helping promote through both of his pages, Cardinal Nation, Cardinals 24/7, really promotes Two Birds on a Bat, and we do greatly appreciate him as well. The Cardinal Freak's another big supporter of the show. He does a great job for us and is always happy to share our stuff through his great Facebook page as well. And really to all the Facebook pages that we post our thing, and we get a lot of interaction, a lot of people getting back to us. Again, it's a great way for us to all stay up to date on our favorite baseball team. LineupMedia.fm, fastest growing podcast company on the planet. Our ask of you is just to simply type it in, LineupMedia.fm. If you're a podcaster, and you obviously are, the numbers tell us that you're going to find about 5 or 6 of them that you like. I guarantee you it's worth your time. They take your entertainment time very seriously. Check it out, lineupmedia.fm. Getting back to it, I think where I was going with the Doug Armstrong thing, no doubt about it, in my opinion, he got aggressive with this move. A fan favorite is gone in Ryan Reaves. Now, on the surface, I guess you have to look at this and say he seems to have gotten a lot for what ultimately is a fourth-line guy that plays about 8 minutes. Okay, the problem is it was a different fourth-line guy that plays 8 minutes. And people think, like, if I talk about it or I know Jamie and Darren, they think it's about the fighting. It's not the fighting. It's the toughness and physical portion of his game that's going to need to be replaced that we were already kind of lacking last year if you watched the games intently. We're going to have to replace that. I'm not sure who that is, but I know there's a lot of people that want to, like, when something happens, you got to accept it, right? So they start looking for, okay, well, the NHL's going away from fighting. That is true.
I think they said 20 of the 31 teams or whatever it is have gone away from that style of player. And for us, Jim, as you know, we're a transitional, you know, generation from what we've gone through in sports. You know, when we started watching, you know, the Enforcer was a huge deal, and we've seen it through our prime sports viewing time that it's gone away. Same thing in baseball and football with certain aspects.
Think about baseball. What do you and I talk about then? What do we remember? We remember Whitey Ball.
Right.
Now, obviously, I remember watching the Cardinals before Whitey Ball. But, you know, I remember Lou Brock, and he stole a lot of bases. So, and my dad had made sure I knew about Stan Musial and Bob Gibson, all this other stuff. But those were the formative years, if you will, be for us with Cardinal baseball. So as the times change and things change, you look at what Doug Armstrong did. The bottom line is he needed to do something. And I guess whether it works or not, I applaud it. A few years ago, the Blues traded for the best goalie available. I mean, he was one of the best goalies in the league.
Right.
When they had a good team, and he went in the playoffs and stunk.
Stunk. Completely stunk.
I wasn't mad at the Blues. That's not their fault. They addressed something and went out and paid a steep price for a guy that should have helped them and he didn't. That's not their fault. I want the Cardinals to do the same thing. I want them to make some ballsy decisions. I want them to say, you know what? This is not working. And okay. Listen, you can be of whatever faction you want to be. You can, and I'm telling you, I really don't care. You can fire the manager tomorrow. You can fire Mozeliak. You can do Bill DeWitt Jr. can fire Bill DeWitt III. I don't really care. You can trade Carp. You can trade whoever you want to. I don't care. You've got to change the makeup of this team. This makeup of this team is bad.
But are you looking for that mid-season, or are you looking for that during the offseason? Because there is the question. That's what we have to answer, is when are the Cardinal fan, Joe Cardinal fan out there, when are they going to be happy? Is it, hey, let's wait until the season's over because we're five games out now?
Well, we're going to talk about that.
Or because, do you make the trade now?
No, see, there's the problem. That's the business side of this that people don't look at, because we don't care about the business side. But it plays such a large part in this that we have to think about it in reference to what we're talking about. All these young players these guys want brought up, that's your business. They're not going to bring them up for no reason. Start clock, you know, options, all this kind of stuff. If they can avoid it and they don't think it makes – I mean, it has to make a major impact for them to change their business model, right? I was very surprised that they called up Sierra. That was a move strictly – like, if you look at the Cardinals and where they're at in this whole thing, that is a move strictly designed around the fact that – and this is why I'm hopeful. They know they have a blockage and that they're going to move pieces. So, therefore, that was a gamble they could take as far as starting a clock on a guy, because so what? They're going to move some pieces anyway, because really it doesn't do them any good to have all these pieces. Somebody's going to go, whether it be one of these really good minor leaguers or somebody on the roster.
Right.
I don't know who it is.
But when?
Well.
That's – I need –
Well,
and here, I need,
well, here's your business thing.
Jim,
here's
GM.
Hang on. Here's your business thing. If you make the moves now and they don't work, okay, you've made moves, you've shown your hand. Now to get fan interest, you got to go make more moves in the offseason, or it's same old shit, different day, and you don't sell any more. You know what I mean? Now, the Cardinals are experiencing something. The ticket sales are there because they're traditionally there because of the way they operate. People aren't showing up. And I assure you, some people are like, well, quit buying tickets. Yeah, that would help too. But I assure you, they have a number that they budget. They've been doing this for a long time. They know what the average till is for revenue when on a game where 40,000 people show up. I'm just going to throw a stupid number out there. Let's say it's $300,000 in revenue that night. It's probably more than that. I don't know.
Okay.
Let's just say it's $300,000 in revenue. When it's all said and done, food, drink, souvenirs, parking, it's probably more than that.
Yeah.
Okay, let's say it's $500,000. I don't know. Hell, who knows? 500,000. Well, I assure you right now it ain't.
You don't think?
No way.
That place was packed last night.
Last night it was. Have you seen some of these other games where they've said they've had 40,000? There's been 20,000 there.
Yeah.
So let me tell you something, Steve. You're a business guy.
But here's the deal. 20,000, no waiting in line. I might get that extra Philly cheesesteak.
Oh, yeah, you would. So take that. So if it is 500,000 and you do the till and it's 250, you're paying attention, I assure you. So anyway, just some thoughts there. So hey, go ahead.
My opinion on it?
Yep, go ahead.
Is I'm a seller today because my track record says that I can't attract that big-time free agent in the offseason. So I'm selling today to try to get a guy that's in a walk year so I can sign him during the offseason. I want him in so he can experience what Luke Voit experienced last night, right? Because that's what St. Louis does.
Do they really care anymore?
Hell yes, they do.
You think they do?
Absolutely.
Okay.
Listen, when my kids are in the stands and there's only three people there, I care. You know, it makes a difference when people are cheering for you. So, yes, that's what Cardinal fans do. They rally behind their guys, right, especially the new ones. They show the love on the hope of the sign. That's the only place we've been successful in the past.
Has it happened in how long?
Sure. I mean, in our time, yeah.
Not in our time. Has it happened the last few years? We haven't gotten the guys.
Holiday? I mean,
Pujols. I'm telling you, we might have a Bambino thing. We might have a curse of the Bambino thing going on here.
Is that we're going there already?
I think that I'm gonna give you my conspiracy theories when we come back too as well. Hey, let's take a short break. Let's hear from you and your wonderful, beautiful wife Emily. I'd like to hear more from her than you. Like I said, you've got a face for radio.
Yes.
She has a face for TV. Let's hear from Steve and Emily. They're our sponsors from Supreme Lending. We'll see you guys on the other side with the Rally Squirrel Report from our friend Nate McHenry from RallySquirrel.com.
Hey, Cardinals fans. This is Steve and Emily Flowers with Supreme Lending. When we're not watching our Redbirds chase another world championship, we're helping buyers finance their dream home.
That's right. Whether you're a first-time home buyer looking for down payment assistance or an experienced buyer looking for your next move, you deserve the best. So call us now at 618-655-0483. We have all the bases covered when it comes to your next home loan. FHA, USDA, VA, and conventional. We do it all here at Supreme Lending.
Homeowners, with our refinance programs, you could lower your rate, get cash out to consolidate debt, or even remodel that bathroom, kitchen, or the outdoor space you've been dreaming of.
The bases are loaded in your favor here at Supreme Lending. Call us at 618-655-0483 or visit us online at steveflowers.supremelending.com or search us on Facebook at Steve and Emily Flowers-Supreme Lending.
Go Birds!
All programs and terms are subject to change without notice and subject to underwriting approval. Supreme Lending, NMLS 2129, is not affiliated with a government agency. Steve Flowers, NMLS 227652. Emily Flowers, NMLS 1256327. Missouri Company Registration 17-2156. Branch NMLS ID 1453720. Located at 361 1 Richardson Square Drive, Suite 200. Equal housing lender.
Good stuff, Steve-O. Really appreciate your support, you and your wonderful wife both.
Well, we're trying. I mean, yeah. She's a rock star. I'm a podcaster now, right?
Yeah,
I do. So if I can throw out any shout outs, we'll get some stuff on social media that we're working on, print stuff. All in all, appreciate all the fans. That's for sure.
Well, what a segue, as you mentioned, social media. It's time now to go to one of the biggest supporters we have throughout all of social media. You hear him typically each and every week, but as you mentioned earlier, Steve. He's been on vacation.
Yeah,
I think this guy's a
week
worker.
Holiday.
Yeah, but I think he's a worker when he's on vacation. It's been 14 days, by the way.
I think the last time he was on the show, we might have been like in the World Series. Yeah.
I think we were in first place last time he was on the show, but I'm not real sure. I hear him laughing in there. Let's welcome in Nate McHenry from RallySquirrel.com with his Rally Squirrel Report. What's going on, Nate?
Hey, good morning, guys. Don't want to make you feel too bad, but I definitely wasn't on vacation. We were actually doing flood relief work up in Baton Rouge, Louisiana, with two student groups for the last 14 days. We worked on 30 homes up there to help repair homes that were affected by the flood. So,
crying here in St. Louis, all the tears being shed.
They're running down the river.
They're running down the river, absolutely.
Yeah, that's right. Exactly. So, yeah, it's good to be back. And, it looks like not so much has changed with the team, but. I was able to tap in once in a while we were gone. So,
well, I know that we appreciate what you do. I know you do a lot of great stuff within your own community and outside, of course, and that's the important stuff that's going on. So, hats off to you and yours for that for sure. And I tried to tell Steve, I said, this guy isn't on vacation as much as you think. This guy is a worker vacation type guy. So. But but back to work here. We talking a little bit about the Cardinals. Did a little comparison, and I know you're a Cardinal fan. I'm sure you follow the Blues a little bit. Obviously, they had a big week with the draft. We talked a little bit about while one trade looked like a no-brainer, the other one was a tough one for the Blues to make because they sent a fan favorite packing, a guy that needs to fill a role. But it felt like a move, to me anyway, it really felt to me like a move that the Blues made because they said, you know what, we got to do something. And we can't have the same thing going on again. I kind of want Mo to do that here. I kind of want to, I'm sorry, but we're in a thing here where this is second year now of the same crap, different day type thing. It's going to take a little bit of a bold move, in my opinion. Steve-O's under the impression that, the thing is, when do you do it? Do you do it now? Do you do it at the trade deadline? Do you do it in the offseason? What's your thoughts on some sort of shakeup for this team, regardless of what it is?
Yeah, I guess you got to still answer the question. Do you want to compete this year, and what does that look like? And I think at this point we got to be honest to say, like, even if we can compete at some level for the NL Central, is it really, are we going to be able to make that run something special. You know, is everything going to actually come together at some point where starting pitching and hitting and everybody's like on somewhat of the same page? You know, it's hard to say. I don't know if that's going to really be realistic, as much as Cardinal fans don't want to hear that. As much as I don't want to hear that, I mean, we just haven't said that in a long time, and we've expected our team to be in the hunt in October. And so, you know, I think there's got to be, it's hard to have reality, and it's hard to get that reality check. So, you know, I think you got to answer that question. Is it something, are we going to compete at any level this year? And if we're not, then, you know, maybe it is fine if we go and take a risk and make a move now and we start thinking about the future.
You know, here's the question. I mean, obviously there's a lot of guys getting paid a lot more than you and I, but can they compete? I just read a stat. They're 6 games under .500 and only 5 games out of first place. So, I mean, you know, you're sitting there going, do we bag it? But I'm of the opinion maybe you already have bagged it. So why not make a change? You know what I mean? I don't know. It's a tough thing. I get it, because I assure you, these guys are sitting over there watching some of these guys going, no matter what anybody thinks, they're better than this. You know, and I believe that in my heart, too, that, you know, these guys, you know, like, we all obviously know more than they do, right? We're all much smarter than the baseball people over on Clark Street. But the reality of it is they've got to be sitting over there going, there's no way these guys are going to keep this up. But the problem is it keeps happening. The same mistakes keep happening over and over again. And you know, and it's not getting any better. So at what point and at what juncture do you say, I've had enough? I don't know. I don't know. Is there a drop dead thing for you personally?
I mean, baseball is such a hard game. It's such a long season and so hard to get to the postseason. For me, like, anytime you have a shot to do that, like, let's go for it. You know, any experience you have to get young players in that kind of an environment and get a hunger for that. You want to keep that culture, I think, around your organization, to say that we don't bag seasons. We, you know, and that's just not who we are, I don't think. So until I see Milwaukee or Chicago or whoever, like, actually start moving forward in a way, in a rate that we can't, like, hang around, it's hard for me personally to want to let go of that. So, you know, Chicago, they seem to be what they are as well. And, they're hovering around the .500 mark. Milwaukee, you know, is jumping. They'll jump a few games above and then come back a little bit. And that's the problem right now, is that it's still open. And you want to think that our starting pitching is enough that if we do get a shot, that, you know, a couple positive things could happen with guys that will pitch well and that opportunity. But right now, it's just nothing's coming together altogether. And so it's hard to have faith that that's going to be reality. But every week we look up and we're not that far back. It's just amazing. So maybe it's just one of those absolutely crazy years where, you know, somebody from the Central is going to be about .500 and they're going to get in, and maybe they have a wild run where they get hot at the right time. So who knows?
You know, here's, you know, I listen to you, I've listened to Steve, and I guess I'm of this opinion on the whole thing, and that is this. If they make a move, I don't see them trading anybody for nothing, right? I mean, number one, I don't know that anybody wants some of the stuff we have unless it's the top prospects. So if they trade prospects, they're going to be getting, they should be getting, an impact-type guy. So I guess if they're going to do that, how does that not help us now and later? And, I mean, we know who those guys are. We've talked about them. They've been in the press, whether it's, you know, I'm thinking, I'm just going to, again, I have no knowledge whatsoever that this is all real. You never know. I mean, you hear names thrown around like Ozuna, Yelich. I'm talking about the guys I think that would make a difference. JD Martinez, Donaldson, you know, again, I don't know how realistic Machado is, all that kind of stuff. But, you know, I don't want a light hitting shortstop that plays good defense, because right now, because of the way things are going, everybody's crying for a good defensive shortstop. I assure you they're going to run him out of town because he can't hit, okay? He just cannot hit. And they're going to lose their mind no matter how good a defense he plays at short. Because why? Because we don't hit well enough to have a guy at short that can't hit. That's our problem. If we had Albert Pujols and Jim Edmonds and Scott Rowland, and if we had those guys on the team, then, yeah, we can have a shortstop that can't hit. This team can't have a shortstop that can't hit. Now, if you want to go get that guy and then make other changes too, okay. But you can't have a guy. That cannot be your big move, is to go get a shortstop that can't hit.
Yeah, not right now.
that's one piece, though.
Every day. Yeah.
You need more than just one piece, though, Jim. That's I think, and Nate, I think you're along the same lines. I mean, one piece does not make this team, does not change it, does not put us in position. And my fear is that if you look at, what is it, the past 6 or 7 years with the National League, you've gone from Cardinals to San Fran, and the Cardinals were a little down, then the Cardinals and San Fran, you know, it's back and forth. So does that mean if that trend continues that you have the Cubs and whoever it is, and then next year's the Cubs, and they might win close to 100 games again? So one player isn't going to make that 100 games. We got to have multiple pieces, or at least something else than just a shortstop.
Yeah, and, you know, you look at the lineup every single day, and you look at the opponent's lineup, and you shake your head, you know. You player to player, position to position, I mean, every single guy on the other team typically is hitting better than we are. And so there's a big hole. There's no doubt about that, you know. And, I think you got to start somewhere, though. You got to make the move. Like you were talking about the Blues, they packed up and sent away a fan favorite. They did something. I don't know what that something looks like right now in the middle of this season. Like you said, I don't think there's guys sitting around on our roster right now that other teams are, you know, clamoring for, but it's just not coming together. That's just the bottom line. It's not coming together.
You know, as we move closer to the All-Star break, it sure doesn't seem like we're going to have very many All-Stars. We haven't had a whole lot of All-Star moments, but the moment last night for the local kid, Luke Voigt, pretty neat. Pretty neat moment for him to have that ovation. I can only imagine what was going through his mind, the gesture from David Freese, which I'm sure we'd expect nothing less. Would be remiss if we didn't ask your opinion of Mr. Grichuk and the Ferrari being out of the garage again.
Yeah, hey, man. I mean, it's on one hand, it's a bummer that those are the things we're celebrating right now. You know, it's like these are the highlights of our game.
Randall got a hit, and a big one.
But, yeah, but, hey, it was a great shot. So, you know, you hope that he can come and be a spark at some level. And it was a big hit. You know, it wasn't a lost home run. It was a home run that mattered in the game. And so you're definitely happy about that. And hopefully there can be some momentum that's carried through with that and for the team. And so, you know, those are always positive moments. Those are good things. And we need those moments for our team. We need a lot of those moments for our team. And you mentioned the All-Stars. And, you know, I've been tempted to post it, but I haven't on our page because I knew I'd get absolutely lit up. But it's hard to vote for our guys for the All-Star game right now. You know, with any sort of honesty and integrity, you're like, none of these people deserve this. And so, you know, it's not going to be a big showing, obviously, for the Cardinals at the All-Star game. But you hope a guy like Grichuk can come in, compete, do well, provide some lift for our team. And you just got to keep hoping that at some point there's going to be more than one guy at a time that can hit on this team. And that our starting pitching can also complement that at the same time. So, I don't know, guys. You just sound like a broken record. You know, it's so hard to think of anything else, but it is what it is right now. And the only thing that's keeping this thing afloat right now is that the NL Central is terrible.
Right.
And
I don't know.
We still look up, and we're still in the same spot.
Hey, look, we just want them to do something.
Exactly. Nate, so what are you doing? Let's get on a roll. What are you doing? Are you you selling today, or are you holding still?
I mean, like I said, as crazy as it feels and almost wrong, like I still think I'm holding at this point because I keep looking up and there's still a shot, and baseball is baseball, and it's a long season, and I'm not somebody that's going to throw away a season when there's still an opportunity because you know how baseball is. It's crazy. You can get a couple guys on a roll, and although we haven't seen that at all this year, you just never know. And so if there's a way to get in there and I think enough about our starting pitching, I think that there could be a level of competition there that would allow us to have a shot. And so I'm still holding. Call me a homer, I guess. I don't know, but I'm going to hold a little bit longer until I see Milwaukee or Chicago do something greater, and hopefully the Cardinals are that team that does that.
Well, we shall see. We shall see, my friend, but it is good to have you back. And again, thanks for your service out in our wonderful communities and all the things that you do. I know that you know, you're not going to sit on here and tout all the wonderful things you do all over this world, much less this great land of ours. But you're a good man. You're a good Cardinal guy, and you're a good friend to us here on the show, and we're happy to support you guys over there at rallysquirrel.com, of course. Remind our friends where they can find you guys.
Yeah, that's it. You can go to rallysquirrel.com and check out our monthly subscription club that we have going on, where you get a box delivered to your door every month. And as well as being a part of that club, you'll receive a digital ticket that allows you an opportunity to win some more incredible memorabilia, autographed prizes, all kinds of cool stuff. So getting ready to ship out next month's box, actually just in a little over a week. So you still have time to jump in, though, if you want to be a part of that for next month. So go to rallyschool.com. You can check it all out.
Well, we appreciate you, Nate. Thanks for everything you do, both for the show and for just in general, the things you do. Like I said, I know you're not going to sit on here and talk about all the great things you do in the communities, but you're definitely aces in our book, my friend.
All right, Jim and Steve, thanks a lot. Have a
good
day.
That is Nate McHenry with his weekly, with his Rally Squirrel Club report. We're very happy to have Nate as a part of the show. He's just a great Cardinal fan, and again, he's very supportive of us, and we can't thank him enough. Another one of the great people within the Cardinal community that are happy to give us their opinions and share their thoughts and knowledge within the game of baseball, especially for our beloved Cardinals, is our own Benji Molina, who comes to you each and every week on the m4byyachty.com hotline. When he's not in town and we're out hitting some of our favorite restaurants, I think he's on the line with us now. What's going on, Benji?
Hey, let's not start with talk about restaurants, man. Let's not do that right now. I'm good, man. I'm doing good.
I wanted to ask you, obviously last night, a lot of talk about Randall Grichuk coming up. There was rumors or whatever that there was going to be some moves yesterday, and I think some people kind of got excited thinking maybe some trades were coming, and you know, and then we had kind of heard Grichuk wasn't in the lineup, so then he was going to be up, and I think it came down to the bottom line was what I had said kind of earlier, and again, no inside information, it just didn't make sense for Grichuk to come up unless Fowler was going on the DL, and he did, so it looks like he will play. And the only reason I said that was not that, again, I've always said I hope Grichuk reaches his potential, because his potential is really high. He just hasn't done it, and I'm not sure you can count on it. But the problem would have been, and a lot of people took the attitude of, well, at this juncture, who really cares? And it's like, well, I tell you who cares is Tommy Pham and Jose Martinez. They care.
Heck yeah, man.
Yeah.
Yeah, they're doing a great job.
Yeah, they care if he comes up and plays in front of them just because he's Randall Grichuk. So, you know, and we do find out that, in fact, Dexter Fowler goes on the DL. This is probably an opportunity for the Cardinals to give Grichuk quite a few starts in a row here and see if there's anything to build off of his stint in the minors. Again, I don't know. At this juncture, I'm not sure all of them aren't being showcased for trades. I'm of the opinion we need to do something. I don't think anything's off limits at this juncture when you're playing this poorly. I'm not quite sure anything's off limits. I looked at something today, and Steve-O and I have been chatting about it just a little bit at the beginning of the show, and that was a tweet from somebody that said, you know, the Cardinals are 6 games under 500 and only 5 games out of first place. That makes you go, gosh, how can we not be in this? I mean, all we got to do is play average baseball and we're in this thing.
That's exactly what we've been saying all along, man. That's exactly what we've been trying to tell people. It's like, yes, you could be sellers, but you could be sellers when you're down. Like, if you keep going like this and all of a sudden you find yourself into a 10 to 15 game behind the first place and no wild card is near, something like that. But man, 5 games, come on, man, you can't get in a hot streak like the Yankees got, or or the Houston has got seven games in a row. You win seven games in a row in that division, you're pretty close to being first place, you know. I think that's my opinion, of course. But that's why I said before, I said you can't sell out just because you're five games out. I wouldn't. If I'm the GM, I wouldn't. I'd be looking for answers. Yeah, I'd be looking around. Yeah, I'll be talking to teams. Yes, I'll be doing all what I can to improve my team. But sellers, it's a hard word, man. You get rid of some guys, and they might help you next year, you know, and years to come. But they could also help you this year, you know, because we're so close. That's what I mean by all that.
See, we talk about should they be sellers, should they be buyers, what should they do? I don't know that we really have a choice, and let me tell you where I'm going with this. You tell me your thoughts. I don't know that we have players on this team that other teams would want and would give us like these top prospects for. Like, I don't mean a low level A. I mean a guy that's ranked high, like, and we know in a year or two is going to help us. You know what I mean? I don't know that we have that kind of guy. So what we're going to wind up doing is trading those types of guys, top prospects, which would tell me then that's all we can trade. I mean, we could trade Piscotty or Fowler, but what is anybody really going to give us for any of those guys? I know that, you know, you think, man, well, Fowler's a good player and Piscotty's good. Yes, they're good players. Are they guys that are going to go to teams, though, and teams go, you know what, if we get this guy, we have a legit shot at the World Series and we're going to give them two of our top five prospects? I just don't see that. We don't have that kind of player, I don't believe. Do we?
No, I don't think we do. The ones that probably you're going to get a lot from is Yadi. The ones that you might get a lot from is Carlos. Maybe Waka in a package or maybe Lynn put together. Rosenthal might give you something high, you know, obviously. But look around. Who else do we have other than the prospects? And that prospect is the one that we got to hold on because of these what we're going through right now.
Well,
those are the ones we're trying to hold on to.
And see, that's kind of my thing. I think a win-win for the Cardinals here, and you tell me if I'm crazy, but I think a win for them would be, and I hate to say this, but almost like a package that includes one of these people on the roster that are blocking people. Does that make sense? And prospects. I think we win-win there. If it's just prospects, I don't know, depending on who we get, I don't know that we helped ourselves that much, only because we still don't have the flexibility on the roster. We got all these guys that can only play here. You know what I mean? And it's different, and people say, well, that's how every team is. But the problem is the guys, most of the places where the guy's the first baseman, he can hit, and he can play first. Okay, and most places the guy that's the shortstop or the guy's they are really, really good. Okay, we don't have that. Okay, what we got right now is we're trying to move guys around because guys are underperforming and they can't be moved around. Some of them have contracts. We gave a couple out after very small sample size, so it's not like it's a ton of money, but we're locked into them in length of term. So now we've got these young guys that you know, while it is potential and everything, I mean that's where it all comes from. So how do you even get a look at them for a long, extended period of time? I've said this along. Piscotty and Fowler are going to play. You've only got one position in left field for three guys that you've got three, you know, of the whole audience is cut in thirds. A third of the people think Martinez should play. A third of the people think Pham should play. A third of the people think Grichuk can play. You don't think that's going on over at Busch Stadium? They're trying to figure out which one of them to play too.
Heck yeah, man. They're trying because they're fans. They know the game, you know. That's what fans in St. Louis, they know the game. They kind of feel it. They know what's going on. They feel what's going on. I think the way you fix this team, it has to come from free agency. A trade, it's really – look at what we got from Matt Adams. Matt Adams, bro. We're talking about one of the best pinch hitters, obviously, you know, that we had and in a couple of years, the guy could play, obviously, out of position because he couldn't play first. Carpenter's there. They tried him in left field. He couldn't perform out there, or they didn't like him. I don't care. I would have put him out there if we had to. I didn't care. I told you guys before. He can't catch a ball. Well, Schwarber can catch a ball. Well, there's a million kids out there that can't catch anything in the outfield. Who cares? Let them hit. That's what they're all doing right now. So I think look at what we got for him. So it's going to have to be to fix up this team. It's going to have to come from free agency, man, and we are a long ways away from that.
Yeah, I'm of the – I don't know what we do because, again – if you're going to move guys around and try to figure it out, I think you look at what they've tried to do and where they've tried to go. Like, it's more apparent to me every day what they were trying to do with Matt Adams. I mean, they've always kind of thought he could be this player, and that's all they have is what's going on behind the scenes. And they're trying to – it's all assessment, right? I mean, they don't have a bunch of guys with long proven track records. Like, people think we've got all these players – and like I had a guy tell me yesterday, well, you don't think if they were all playing to their normal performance levels? I'm like, what normal performance level? Some of them only been in the league for a year or two. You're going to call that a normal performance level? And it's the other thing. People say, well, in AAA and in AA, again, I say it again. If you're a pitcher, what do they not have in the minor leagues? Major league hitters. And if you're a hitter and you're doing well in the minor leagues, what don't they have? They don't have major league pitching. Now, the guys get paid a lot of money down there in these organizations to say, this guy appears to have the skill set that will carry over to the major leagues. I assure you, they're all better at it than me and Steve and all these guys sitting on our couch at home. Do they miss? Of course they miss. Andy Bennis said it on the last show, if you heard him. And it was a very quiet statement when we were talking about whether or not it would even be realistic for a guy like Adam Wainwright to pull an Andy Bennis. Like, everybody thinks, why can't he do this? Or, like, when we talk about Waka, I've said it, I can't believe the guy can't learn how to throw a curveball. And he does throw a few, but you see why he doesn't throw them, okay? But it's like, Andy said it, it was a very short, quick sentence that kind of got glossed over, but I went back and listened to it, and he said it. I mean, you're talking about a guy that was the number one pick out of college, played for Team USA. Okay, the guy was a stud, okay? The game is so very hard. I think we as fans sometimes forget how hard it is.
Yeah, a lot of fans watch the game from the stands. It's really, really easy to say, hey, we don't have to get into this. We know that. I know that because I played for a long time. Andy Bennis said it. And we played for a long time. And when I got to the stands, holy crap, that slider didn't look as nasty as it looked when I was hitting. And that ball away didn't look away in that time. I was like, how the heck is that guy going to miss that ball? That ball's easy put in play. But guess what? I'm not playing anymore. So as a fan, I'm sure that's what it looks like. It's a lot easier from the outside. And it's really, really hard. And not only that, you have to get a pitch. Like if you're Wainwright, you have to get a pitch. And not only a pitch, you have to get a good pitch because you're going to face major league hitters that if you don't have that pitch on your A game, that thing's going to go far or you're going to struggle. You're going to go back to your ways and it's better off not doing anything. So it's hard, man.
I but we're fans, right? We love them. We're passionate. I get upset. I get mad. I watch a game. All these emotions, all these frustrations go through it. I can't help but just watch them and try to figure out, you know, where the disconnect is. I was watching this the other day, and I was going to ask you this. So it seems like a lot of people, you know, like right now people are like, well, John Mabry needs to stay away from this guy or this guy or this guy and don't let Matheny do this and this and this. And why can't they bring up Oquendo to teach the guy this and this and this? And it made me think about this for a minute. And I think this is a pretty easy way to – I think this is a pretty easy way to describe it for people that think that like any one of these guys, it's just that simple. Teach DeJong how to run the bases. Teach Carpenter how to run the bases. Teach him how to field a ground ball. Teach him how to do this. Listen, number one, they can all do this stuff, okay? How well they do it is the issue, okay, at the end of the day. And I tell you this, if it just took an instructor to teach the players, like if all you had to do was just instruct them and they were great, then why do you need all these players? All you would need is an instructor.
Yeah.
Okay, that's why there are so many prospects and so many players, because guys come in And unfortunately, or fortunately, depending on who you are in this equation, you go up, you get your chance, and you either show what you can do or what you can't do. And all the instructors in the world sometimes can't make you a five-tool guy.
Exactly. That's what I was going to say. You and Steve-O have mentioned it way too many times in the show, and you said it right, and I'm right with you. Sometimes you cannot make a basketball player come and pitch and throw 96 right on the corner constantly, or you cannot make somebody that's a first baseman and try to make him into a gold glove first baseman. It doesn't work that way, man. Yes, you have these talented kids that they're already talented. They're already gold glove calibers. And then you work a little with them, and they become stars, you know, like Correa or Lindor. They were already good, man. They knew what they were doing after. You cannot make Diaz, in this case that we have, which is a good player, but he's not going to be a gold glove guy. I mean, how many years do you need to get better? How many ground balls do you need over the years to get better? How many? Because what I've seen in my years of experience in the big leagues, you already have a good guy. He just get better in the big leagues, right? Because he gets more work or whatever it is. But when you don't have that, when you don't have that guy getting better, that should tell you something, man. Maybe that guy is not, it's not what you trying to make him. Maybe that doesn't work that way. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So you've been saying it all along.
If it was that easy, every guy that came up to the big league would stay up here for 15 years. It doesn't make any sense why we think it's just so easy. I'm guilty. I get upset. Like, I see it. I watch a base running mistake and go, God, I don't understand it. But, you know, the difference is failing and succeeding. I mean, you know, last night Diaz almost gets thrown out at home with one out. If he gets, you know, it's great because he's safe, but what if he's out? Everybody loses their mind, right? But no, instead, everybody's happy. It's the same play. He's just out. Safe.
But he was sent by a coach, though, right?
That's right.
Or what was the play? He was sent by a coach. If he turns to first and go to second on the, and like Dijon did the other day, like you were talking about.
Right.
He goes and get thrown out when we're down four at second base. Yeah, that's on you. But the one at third base and things like that, the coach sent them.
Sure.
You can't argue with that. You can't say anything about that. But the base runner like a wild pitch is that you don't advance when you shoot us because you're not either paying attention or you're not in the game or you already got a double, so you're okay. You know, you got a double, so all of a sudden the ball's in the dirt. It's like, oh crap, I gotta go. I should have gone. Yeah. Now that costs us a run or things like that. Yeah, that's on you. But not the ones that the coach sent you. You know, that's the only thing.
Yeah, and you know, and that's the thing. Like I said, there are so many. You know, obviously, there's fundamentals within the game of baseball. You played the game. There's basic fundamentals. There's basic rules. Don't make those outs at third base. Don't get thrown out at home with this. Da 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 da. You know, you better be standing up. There's all these baseball 101 things that I think sometimes we forget about because. What do we have that they don't get to have at that moment? We assume that these guys aren't emotional, right? Well, I assure you when, you know, what, and he obviously it was a mistake, but he was emotional and he thought he could do something for his team. Typically, that's a lot of the outs at second base. The guys trying to stretch singles into doubles or guys trying to make things happen. Whether it was right or wrong is another discussion, but you understand why they do it. I mean, has anybody ever not tried to stretch a single into a double and gotten thrown out? I doubt it.
Well, that's great. I mean, those plays are going to happen, but what time do they happen? That's the biggest question. And like you said, down four,
yeah.
You're going to get thrown out at second. That's not a good way. You have to be smart enough in your head to say, okay, it's going to be risky. Let me stop. I'll take a single. You know what I'm saying?
Sure.
Because we're down four. If you're trying to make it to second when we're down one, I give it to you. You know, you're trying just to make something happen. All right, here we go. But not down four. It's like the other day, which I seen so many times, I don't know why it's not corrected, that here comes the eighth batter having the pitcher behind him in the sixth inning, and we're down two runs. Two runs, okay? Even one run, I saw these the other day too. Down two or down one or tie game, here comes our eighth batter and swings at the first freaking pitch. Come on, man. That's baseball. You can't swing at the first pitch. You know why? I'm going to tell you why. Because you have the pitcher behind you. You have that guy that bunts you over if you get on. Give yourself more chances. Take a couple pitches. Who cares if you get a first pitch strike, right? Who cares? You're in the big league. You should be hitting with two strikes. So whatever, but don't swing at a freaking first pitch, you know, or little things like that. Don't do those things. I mean, I get so mad when I see it. And then the pitcher over here obviously is an out, you know, most of the time. So one pitch, one out, and then the pitcher's coming next. Come on, man. Let's use our heads here. You know, that's what the baseball, IQ baseball tells me. You have it or you don't. When I played, I love to play with David Eckstein. I love to play with Adam Kennedy in my team. I love to play with Benji Gill. I love to play with all these kids. You know why? Because they knew the freaking game. They knew it. They knew when to take strikes. They knew that David Well couldn't catch a bunt because he get tired. So guess what? You're going to have to catch two bunts an inning or one bunt an inning because we wanted to get him tired. When he has 60 to 70 pitches and it's sixth inning, we want that guy out. How the heck am I going to go to the plate, swing at a first pitch? What the hell am I going to get? A hit? Because I'm not a home run hitter. I might run into a few balls, but guess what? I might get a hit. Yeah, I got a hit, but it also could hurt the team because one pitch, one out, and the guy's in 70 or 80 pitches. When you should be making him work. Maybe we get him out of the inning. We use the bullpen. Then the next two games, that bullpen is used. I mean, there's so many things in baseball that is not used these days because they don't have the IQ. There's so many little players in the major leagues that doesn't have the IQ.
BMO, and we were talking about that, you know, we've lived through, and we're all the same age, roughly. I mean, we've lived through a transition in sports all the way around. And is this just part of the transition away from a team game to something completely different where it's eyeball or me ball out there?
Can I tell you what I think it is?
Yeah.
And then I want Benji's thought. I was going to tell you as my kids are knee-deep, and Benji, I know you're familiar with this because you support a lot of youth teams and things like that, but again, I've talked about this on other things before. I'm knee-deep in this right now. Now, mind you, admittedly, my son is not even remotely close to a prospect when it comes to professional. I mean, he's not even a high-level college player. That's not my point is. But he's been around enough of that stuff for me to watch what's going on and see how things – and I'm sorry, but the reality of it is they're not drafting baseball players. They're drafting numbers.
They're drafting height, power – that's all. They're drafting. It's sad, man. It's really sad in baseball. Really, really sad.
They are
and it gets me so pissed, dude.
They're drafting. Okay, you know what? Here's what Randall Grichuk would be described as now by old school guys that are watching this happen. He is a cage warrior. You know what a cage warrior is?
5 o'clock hitter.
This guy gets in the cage and everybody goes, wow. And then he lines up on the right field line and they have a cone 60 feet out and he runs and they go, wow. And then he picks up the ball at 285 feet and throws it to third, and they go, wow. You know what I mean? Look at his body. Look at the way he moves. Wow. And they don't even stick around and watch him play, and when they do, it's for 10 minutes. And then the whole problem here is, and this is where people fail to realize this, they draft these guys, and then they go where? They go to the minor leagues. And what is the one thing they're supposed to teach these guys to do in the minor leagues? Play the game the right way.
Correct.
Yeah. Play the game.
Take a guy that's a pole hitter, make him hit to all fields, right? Take a guy that's a 350 hitter or whatever and give him a little power, right?
Right.
Teach him a complete game of baseball.
That's what the minor leagues is for.
That's what it's supposed to be. That's not what it is. I believe me. I've been into a couple of minor leagues farms, and it's really, really sad, okay? I'm not talking about a little bit sad. It is really, really sad what's going on in the minor leagues. I mean, not everyone, and don't get me wrong out there. I'm not saying every team. There's some teams that has a great great minor league system. But when I saw these couple times that I went over, I was amazed for what I saw. I could easily go to and I say Puerto Rico because that's where I'm from. I'm sure if I was from Colombia, I would have said the same thing. I would have gone to Colombia and pick out a handful of guys that were way better than what we saw in that rookie ball. But they're not a stall. They throw 89, 88 instead of 97, but they don't know what the heck the ball's going. I had a question the other day in Twitter. I don't know if you guys saw it. Did you rather have a 97, 98 guy with a 5 ERA, or do you want to have an 88 to 90 guy with a 2-something ERA? Which one do you want? So it's the same.
There are so many guys at AAA baseball that throw 88, 89, and all they do is get people out, and they never get a chance.
Never get a chance. That's exactly what I'm trying to say, man. And let me tell you this. There's a guy in Anaheim that you know him, in second base. That guy is hitting 175, bro. 175. And he has a career hitting of like 190 to 200. It's not like he's a 300 hitter. He's playing every day for years, bro. For years, man. 175. When I seen a lot of Latin players and a lot of white guys, whatever it is, it doesn't matter the race. I seen a lot of guys hitting 240, 260, 280 in the minor leagues. They can run, steal bases, play great second base, but they never make it. I don't know what the heck is going on, man. I'm telling you, it's so sad to see these things happening. And even in the big leagues, you have guys, okay, they get 5 years to hit 20 home runs. Of course, if you give me 5 years, I might hit 25 home runs because I developed to it. But you gave me 5 years. What the heck? We don't have 5 years. When you get to the big leagues, you're supposed to perform right away, man. I'm telling you, it's sad, sad, sad to see more and more guys going out to the big leagues with potential instead of doing it. Seriously, man, it's really, really sad.
Well, again, for me, it's the understanding, I think, of where you learn this stuff, what your skill set is, how it's all supposed to work. It just hit me that I'm sitting here going, you know, if everybody's argument held true that all you need is this instructor to come in and teach you all this stuff, what do you need prospects for? Every guy you'd bring up here could just do it. That's the problem. Some guys just can't do it. Some guys are not good base runners. Some guys are not good defensively. Some guys don't hit for power. Some guys, their average isn't good enough. Some guys, you know, and all these stats everybody wants to give me, their walk rate and their line drive rate and all that, whatever. Fine. The bottom line is this. We're back to, is he a baseball player? Does he take the extra base when given the opportunity? Does he make smart decisions? Does he throw to the right base? Does he throw through his cutoff man? Does he do that? That stuff as a game, because here's the thing that I'm going to tell you, okay? Just watch another baseball game. Don't watch the Cardinals. This stuff we're doing goes on every night with other teams.
Yeah.
Listen, I don't want to get anybody like, but you know, my cousin is a coach for the Pittsburgh Pirates in the minor leagues, and he sees it every day. All they do is send him guys that have these numbers, and they can't play baseball.
They don't know the baseball, man.
And he says they go watch guys all the time that can play and they never get a chance, and they're just baseball players. But there's no area to give any money to a guy that's a good baseball player. They're going to give money to the guy that's exit speed's 99 miles an hour, his launch angle's 34, he's a sub-7 or he's a sub-6.8 in his 60. He's 93 miles an hour on a crow hop from the outfield. Those are the guys getting the chances. And some of them have no idea how to play the game.
And that's why you see the lowest and lowest and lowest in baseball. You know, you've seen it over the years. Why you think everybody's getting rid of the veterans? Now you get to 35, everybody wants to get rid of you. Nobody wants to give you a job when you're 35. Come on, man. Come on. Let's be honest. Jermaine Dye hit 29th home run, and he didn't have a job in the next year. Why? He stole bases. He did all the great gold glove, I think, in right field. And he did everything he could. He got 29 homers, and nobody gave him a job. Why? what the heck? You know what I'm saying? Those are things that we're living through this baseball, man. It's sad. It's sad to watch because there's less, and less guys that know how to play the game and more just skilled players. Like, they're big and they're strong, and if they can get that ball, I know 1 year he's going to catch on fire. I know one time he's going to go on a tear. I know he's going to have a great career. I know it, but never happens. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So it's crazy. It's crazy.
Some guy walks in and says, I'm telling you, his launch angle and his miles per hour and this are all perfect. But let me tell you something. When it comes to the game of baseball, you better figure out what's going on the 6 inches between the ears, because what we fail to realize as fans is that's where the majority of this is going on. Some guys just can't do it. Hey, Benji, great stuff this week, man. Really appreciated having you. It's always good, my friend.
Hey, like we always say, man, we just have to keep supporting our guys. That's it, man. That's what we have. That's what we got to fight for this year, and that's it, man. That's it. We got to keep fighting for them. Yes, we talk about our opinions on the game and how things they do bad and the things that they do good, but that doesn't mean we don't love them. That doesn't mean any of that, man. We want to support them as much as we can, you know?
Sure, and again, I've always thought that even some of the guys that are a little harsh on them, whether it be on social media, they're only harsh on them because they love them and they expect a lot of them, as do I. I'm just...
We want to.
Sure.
We want them to be good.
Sure.
We want them to be great. That's the thing, that we think that they could, they could be good at some point. They could help us out.
For sure. Well, hey, we appreciate you, my friend. We got to get out of here, so we're going to let you go and thank your brother and his wonderful company, M4, again. That's Benji Molina on the M4byYachty.com hotline. We'll talk to you soon, Benji.
See you, got it, guys.
That is the great Benji Molina. Again, always a pleasure to have him on. And again, his insight is second to none. We're just a couple of guys that talk baseball. It's always nice to be able to lean on a guy that's been there.
Well, let me tell you what we can talk about, like big league level with him, is eating. And he posted something last night about having a burger. I need to get him on with where he posts the pictures so I can really kind of see in two dimension what he's doing with this eating thing. Because he was out Pacific Northwest and had some burger, and I go, I need to know how that rates. So,
well, I know he was a big fan of the burger he got at your house. I know you're trying to get him a steak next time he's in town. So, and I'll take one of those too, so make sure you just get one for me.
Oh, you'll
as
get
well.
One, bud.
Cardinal fans, thanks so much for sticking with us this week. Happy to bring you the show as always. Special thanks again to lineupmedia.fm and everything they do for our show and all the wonderful shows on our network. Make sure you give them a chance for your business. Lineupmedia.fm. All the podcasts on the network are absolutely free, and if you're a podcaster, and we know you are, you're going to find something on there that's worth your entertainment time. Make sure you check us out. TwoBirdsOnABat.com is our website. It's where you'll find the podcast. It's also where you can subscribe. It is absolutely free, as I just mentioned. Social media is where we make our hay. Check us out on Twitter, @BirdsOnABatShow. Check us out on Facebook, TwoBirdsOnABat. You follow us, we're going to follow you back. For Steve Flowers, this is Jim Cromer and everybody here at Lineup Media. Let's go Cards.
Go Birds.
This podcast was a presentation of LightUpMedia.fm.